Well, one of the great things about working in the Fisher Building and facing south is that you can mark the milestones in the city of Detroit as the skyline changes. And there was a significant one yesterday as Dan Gilbert's Hudson's skyscraper reached its maximum height. It topped out. And there's always a little bit of celebration that goes on with that. And we want to engage in that on this Friday morning. Kirk Pinno is the senior commercial real estate reporter for Crane's Detroit Business. Kirk, good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
So there's a tree up there now, huh?
Yeah, another rooftop tree. We thought we got rid of all of them about, you know, 6-7 years ago. We keep adding a few. So,
well, and this one is ceremonial. The other ones were actually growing. That's the difference.
Right.
But yeah. Tell us the significance of this topping out ceremony.
So this marks, you know, another sort of milestone in the completion of what's going to be the second tallest building in the state, rising, you know, 680, 685 feet, something like that. Obviously, it replaces an iconic mainstay of the city that had been there for decades prior to its implosion 25 years ago. And, you know, up until where we are today, it's been basically just kind of a hole, a gap on the Woodward corridor that, you know, for years many people wanted to have filled, and now it's finally being filled with, you know, a large brand new building with a bunch of different uses.
Kirk, the site's history. I mean, we know it was once home to that J.L. Hudson's department store that I think everybody at one time was shopping at back in the day. You know, it really adds a layer of significance to the development. How do you think the project honors the legacy of the site, but also modernizing like Detroit's downtown area?
Well, I think when Dan Gilbert, you know, first started, you know, looking at this, you know, they had the site's history in mind and you know the kind of legacy that it brought up in people's memories. So when they designed the building, I should really refer to it, it's actually two buildings. There's the one at the north end of the property, and then the one sort of at the south end, which is the skyscraper portion. But you know, when they designed this, they wanted it to be sort of reflective of, you know, the iconic sort of legacy that the department store building, one of the largest in the world, had in the minds of Detroiters. So you had, and that's probably one of the reasons why it's taken so long, is mm-hmm. so many redesigns. You know, it started off as, you know, 734 feet, and then 800, then 912, and, you know, came back down. But, you know, they've always wanted this to be, you know, sort of this eye-popping, sort of emblematic a building that, you know, is going to, you know, draw the imagination of, you know, people in Detroit and, you know, around the country for years to come. So,
and there's also some hotel space in there as well.
Yeah. So Bedrock officially has not confirmed that. The hotel chain has officially not verbally confirmed that, although both companies at varying points in time have listed the Detroit location on their website. So yeah, there's an addition hotel coming to the skyscraper portion with, I think it's about 200 or 210 rooms. And addition is the hotel chain founded by one of the co-founders of Studio 54 in New York. Wow. That's supposed to be about 200 rooms. And then there's also going to be about 100 condominiums in the skyscraper portion. And then the block portion, as it's referred to on the northern portion of the site, is has about 400,000 square feet of office space plus event space and stuff like that. So
this goes up, Kirk, at a time there's going to be all this office space, at a time when people aren't leaving their houses to work. I mean, how is it going trying to sell the space, do you think?
So with about 400,000 square feet, that is a very large block of office space that needs to be filled. There have not been any official announced tenants yet. I've not been told of any leases that have been signed. There are, you know, a few different ways that this could transpire. You know, theoretically, Gilbert could backfill this with, you know, people who work in his business empire. They can look for other tenants. They've hired an outside brokerage company called Newmark, which is based in New York, but has a couple local offices here to market the space to tenants. But yeah, I mean, as you were saying, the office market is tricky right now due to the pandemic, due to sort of changing work habits. So getting that 400,000 square feet filled up is not going to be an easy task. And it's not just, you know, that building. Any other, you know, new office building that comes out of the ground or is rehabbed is going to face those challenges probably for, you know, the coming several years, if not longer.
Kirk, those of us with long memories remember when the Rens End opened and there was the giant sucking sound at the Buell building, the book, the tower, the Cadillac building. All of them seeing their tenants going after the shiny new object. Are we bracing ourselves for that kind of creation of white elephants again? And might the Rens End be the one that loses the most?
Well, that's an interesting calculus that needs to sort of be worked through, because when you're talking about a new office building like the Hudson site, you're looking at a building that would probably very easily command something to the tune of, you know, $50-$60 a square foot in rent compared to some of the other buildings that you just mentioned, the Buell, the Book Building, Renaissance Center, which are in the neighborhood of, you know, $25 per square foot.
So they operate in different markets, really.
Yeah, I mean, there's long been, at least during the pandemic, a sort of developer and broker speak about this concept called flight to quality, which is where tenants are willing to pay a premium, maybe take less space, but pay more for more bells and whistles as kind of a way to entice people to come back to the office. If there's more amenities, that'll be more fun and interesting and exciting to go to. You know, Hudson's and any of the other sort of new office product that's coming out of the ground is going to be sort of that, you know, really, really high-end office space. But, you know, how that sort of sits in relation to, as you're saying, the Buell building or the Ford building or any of the other sort of more historic, somewhat recently renovated buildings that are not commanding as much rent. You know, those are two different, you know, classes, and you'll have to see how those sort of shake out, I think.
It's interesting, you know, Dan Gilbert's mantra has been live, work, play for all of his workers. Honestly, they could do all three without ever leaving that building.
Yeah, there's a lot of different uses there, almost a little city into itself. Although certainly this is going to be far more, you know, the Rens End was long billed as this, you know, it's your city that you don't ever have to leave. It's this fortress type thing. The folks over at Bedrock want this to be the opposite, where, you know, it's a welcoming environment. These two buildings that are being built are actually, you know, sort of separated by this activated alley. So they want people to come, you know, come walking through the site to sort of experience everything that they have on the ground floor. It's not going to be the sort of isolated, you know, off in the middle of nowhere, separated from everything type development, but more so, you know, really sort of in the thick of things.
All right, Kurt Penhall, senior commercial real estate reporter for Crain's Detroit Business. Thank you for your time this morning.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
Coming up, news of the day.